This is a special edition of the Dakota Free Press Podcast. Paid for today by the Heidelberger Campaign Fund. I'm Dakota Free Press contributor Toby Uecker, and I'll be talking with Corey Allen Heidelberger, candidate for District 3 Senate. It is good to be here with you, Corey.
Toby, it's good to have you here. I love having conversations with you.
Absolutely. We have a good history of conversations.
Many. Yes. What is it, like 20 years now plus?
It's getting real close to that, for sure.
Wow.
So I thought maybe that would be a great place to start, is to talk a little bit about some of the ways that we connected and have stayed connected, having big talks and preparing for something like running for office here in District 3.
Yeah, because where we met, I mean, you were a high school debater. I was not even a coach or a teacher formally yet. I was just kind of bouncing around in college and coming back and helping the Madison debate team. We built our interaction from there. So our interaction, you know, developed as talking about policy and high school policy debate. And Toby, you know, that is one thing I love about talking to you. I know that when we talk, we can get into the nitty gritty of policy and really have some, you know, conversations that I appreciate. We've disagreed on some issues, but we're still able to recognize that we can make our point with passion and still go have a good time.
So I think that's actually a good connection point. You've, you know, been involved with high school speech and debate here in South Dakota for 30 plus years.
We can say 30 plus years. I did it for 2 years as a student. I've been involved as a high school speech activities judge, as a coach, you know, a team assistant, state tournament judge. What I love about those experiences that have really kind of shaped who I am as a professional is that every weekend I'd have to go into various classrooms and high schools around the state and listen to some of the smartest kids in the state. I mean, yourself included, Toby, making really impassioned and complicated and fast speeches about really difficult policy issues and philosophical issues. And the funny thing is, even as they're arguing this out, presenting their very diametrically opposed viewpoints, I don't get to say a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a rule. All the judge gets to do in high school speech is sit in that chair and listen. And then kind of try to sort out from those very different positions who got it right. I enjoy that experience, and I'm really glad I've had it. Because now when I do things like read about policy issues in the newspaper, it's automatic that I go and listen to the opposing viewpoints and try to sort them out and make sense of, okay, given all these different opinions, what is the right way forward?
And there are lots of different opinions in District 3 in South Dakota, all over the place.
Absolutely. And I've seen that writing my blog. Dakota Free Press, the same thing. I deal with a lot of people who come to my blog and read it, you know, Republican, Democrat. And so I recognize I have an obligation to, you know, number one, try to gather information from lots of different sources so people can have a shot at learning from different sources and see what's going on, but also then to be able to speak to the readers who are coming to me. My blog experience, too, a lot like my debate experience, really is about listening to lots of people and encouraging people from different perspectives to, you know, come together and have a civil conversation. It's tough,
sure,
but it's that mindset that I got from high school debate really informs what I try to do on the blog and what I want to do in the legislature.
And let's talk about how we transition that to the legislature. It's more than just arguing. Legislators have to come up with things, have to get policy passed, have to have things to show for their time out in Pierre. How do you translate some of those same skills from judging and participating in speech and debate into moving beyond the debate to get some things accomplished?
Step one is to study. It's the same thing that I tell debaters when I'm coaching. First, you've got to understand the material, and you've got to have as broad an understanding as you can get. If you don't know what your case is about, you're not going to be able to explain it or persuade anybody. But more importantly, you're not going to know what that bill might actually do to the Constitution, to people's rights, to the economy, all the practical things that can happen. So step one is study.
And that means legislative session is going to be more than just going to some luncheons. You're going to be spending some time doing the research.
You know, I've talked to legislators and I've been out in Pierre, and I do know that one can go to even some of the fancy lunches or whatever and have good conversations. But I've talked to other legislators too, who are like, yeah, the lobbyists are having this cheese and wine thing, but I'm just going back to the Ramcota to study because we got bills tomorrow.
That's right.
That really is me. I mean, I recognize the need to talk to other legislators, but I want to study the bills. I will be spending my time reading the bills and, frankly, still blogging about the bills. I will be blogging about, okay, this is, I'm going to committee. I'm hearing these three bills. I'm going to write about those bills in part so I can get feedback. I want my readers who I trust. I've got a lot of readers with a lot of different ideas. If I put a bill on the blog, they're going to tell me about it. And that'll help me learn so I can be a better legislator.
So research is step one. What are a couple of the other steps?
Once you've built that research base, once you know what you're talking about, and once you know what other people are thinking, there's still a lot of listening. You know, you've got to go and, you know, listen to what other legislators are thinking. If it's a bill someone else is sponsoring, I want to talk to that sponsor. Say, why are you bringing this bill? What is the intent? What's going to happen? And then having conversations, saying, okay, I see the problem you're trying to solve. Let's look at your bill. And if I like the bill, I'll say, what can I do to help? Can I be a co-sponsor? Can I, you know, carry it for you in the Senate? If I like the intent, but I see there's a problem, I want to point that out. I want to say to the sponsor, hey, wait a minute. If we made this amendment, it would save some money or pave more roads. So you have that conversation.
So there it is. Before we even get to the voting part that lots of people pay attention to, it's research, listening, conversation.
It's funny, I talk a lot about enjoying debate, and you know I do, Toby. I love a good debate. But I recognize that a lot of the work we do is well before we get to the fancy floor speeches. I'm not going to peer to make speeches. I'm going to peer to solve problems. Legislature's not a debating society. It's a problem-solving group.
Problem-solving group that could contain Corey Allen Heidelberger as District 3 Senator. This broadcast is a special edition of Dakota Free Press, paid for by Heidelberger Campaign Fund. Vote for Corey Heidelberger for District 3 Senate, November 6th. Welcome back. You're here with Toby Uecker talking to Corey Heidelberger, candidate for Senate in District 3 here in Aberdeen. Education policy. This is a big topic. This is a big topic for you. One of your tentpole issues, they call it.
It's a big topic for me personally because I've spent, you know, the best parts of my professional life in education. I'm committed to it personally and professionally. And it's a big part of South Dakota's life budget-wise. If you add up K-12, universities, technical institutes, that makes up the single biggest chunk of our budget.
A big part of South Dakota, a big part of your background. So let's talk about the importance of public education to South Dakota. Why is it fundamental to the work of the legislature and the work of the state government?
Well, South Dakota's founders nailed it. They wrote it in the Constitution. When they said, we're going to maintain a system of free, fair public education for everybody, they said, it's because education is vital to the preservation of the republic. So, I mean, it's that basic. Everything starts with education. And practically speaking, yeah, I mean, people talk about, you know, the problems we have in society. Crime, unemployment, drug use, you know, you can go on down the list. Start people off with a good education, you're going to get rid of a lot of problems.
How is South Dakota doing right now at living up to that constitutional commitment to public education?
South Dakota has for generations shorted public education. We've gotten by saying, oh, you know, we don't need to pay teachers that much. But that neglect meant that for 30 years, our K-12 teachers were the lowest paid teachers in the nation. It took 30 years of neglecting our K-12 system to finally pass a sales tax to raise some money and we actually raised a lot of money. We raised $100 million, but things were so bad that all that did was raise our teacher pay from 51st in the nation to 48th in the nation.
So you're saying the work isn't done on funding public education?
We've still got a lot of work. I know, I mean, there was a lot of talk when we passed that sales tax 2 years ago, and I think a lot of people wanted to go, whew, solve that problem. No, we just got in the door. We still aren't regionally competitive with pay. You can go to any state touching South Dakota and earn a lot more money, even after taxes and cost of living, than you can here in South Dakota. And that's a market, you know, the market fact is if you pay the lowest wages, you're going to have a harder time drawing the best talent that our kids need, the talent our state needs to provide that public education to every student that our Constitution demands we do. So we've got to keep working on that. We've got to find revenue sources to get regionally competitive pay.
Do you have an idea for what that revenue source might be?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, by my ballpark numbers, we need something like $70 million just to get kind of the middle of the region. $70 million is not lying under somebody's couch. Well, although if it is, call me and let's put it in there. I'll take the easy solution if you've got it. There are plans out there. I mean, we could talk about, you know, some sales tax reform. We could talk about different ways to do it. Maybe that internet sales tax, although that's already spoken for, that's going to be complicated. I don't know what the source is, but we need to have conversations about priorities that say, if another $70 million comes, we've got to talk about how much of that we can spend on our teachers. It won't be an easy answer, I guarantee you that. But fixing two generations of neglect isn't going to be easy. It's going to cost. It's going to be tough.
But I think you're ready for that tough order.
I want to have that conversation. I'm not afraid of that conversation because I recognize that conversation is necessary to solve a vital problem, to make sure every kid in this state gets the best teacher and the best education they can.
Best education we can provide. It is a constitutional commitment of South Dakota. It's a personal commitment from Corey Allen Heidelberger, candidate for District 3 Senate.
This broadcast is a special edition of Dakota Free Press, paid for by the Heidelberger Campaign Fund.
Let's talk about Northern State University.
You bet. Go Wolves.
Go Wolves indeed. Northern's a pretty big deal here in Aberdeen. What's the importance of having a Regental school right here in Aberdeen, South Dakota?
Well, you know, Toby, Aberdeen is the hub city, and Northern State University is at the center of that hub. Northern State University is a hub of, first and foremost, education. I mean, it's educating students from all around this area. It's a hub for employment. I mean, Northern State employs hundreds of people. And the students who go here then do jobs all around Aberdeen. They contribute to the economy. And it's a hub for cultural activity. You know, we have the sporting events, the arts events, the Northern Campus supports. You know, we have our own local symphony here in Aberdeen. That's something for a town of 30,000. Northern State University provides all sorts of entertainment for people, not just in Aberdeen, but in a region that serves 80, 90,000 people. Northern really is a hub for lots of things happening in our community.
So what does the senator from District 3 have to do to make sure that Northern remains that hub?
The senator from District 3 just has to keep going up here and reminding people of our commitment, first and foremost, to higher education. By itself, higher education is something this state needs to invest in and invest more in so students can afford it, get a great education, and stay and study and work here in South Dakota. In addition, we need to remind people that Northern is key to Aberdeen. There are hundreds of employees. There are thousands of students. There's millions of dollars of economic development and activity that happens because Northern is here in Aberdeen and doing things that nobody within 150 miles of us is doing. There's no replacing the educational value, the jobs value, the economic value, and the cultural value of an institution like Northern State University serving this entire quadrant of the state. If there's anybody in South Dakota who doesn't recognize the value of that, I don't know what's going to straighten them out. But it should be obvious to everybody, Northern State is vital to this community and to all of South Dakota.
And it certainly sounds like if they're not convinced initially, you're ready to convince them that Northern is that important.
I will do the convincing, and if that doesn't work, I have lots of friends here at Northern State from the president on down who will be happy to help me make that case, along with all the people of Aberdeen who will say Northern is great for everybody here.
So there are plenty of Aberdonians ready to say go Wolves. And hopefully, plenty that are ready to vote for Corey Allen Heidelberger for District 3 Senate. This broadcast is a special edition of Dakota Free Press, paid for by Heidelberger Campaign Fund. Vote for Corey Heidelberger for District 3 Senate, November 6th. I know that you have been working on a series, 30 policies in 30 days.
Yes, that's my October Facebook series.
I have a challenge for you,
Corey.
Oh,
really?
I do. I think that you can do more policy in a minute than most legislators, maybe even than your challenger here in District 3, can do through a whole session. 30 policies in a month, that's one thing. I want you to do 30 policies in 1 minute.
All right, we'll try.
All right. You ready to go?
Let me get some water first.
Sounds good. All right, I have a timer.
Okay.
Ready to go. So, 30 policies in 1 minute. Corey Allen Heidelberger, District 3 Senate. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Enact ballot measures the day after the canvass. Repeal circulator paperwork rules. Require an attorney general's explanation in 5 days. Expand Medicaid. Do NESIBA's net neutrality bill. Do automatic voter registration. Do same-day voter registration. Dedicate economic development dollars to the reservations. Repeal the ban on ballot selfies. Restrict eminent domain to publicly owned and operated projects. Let petitioners give their web address instead of a paper form. Do electronic petitions. Adopt Billy Sutton's 2016 tax plan. Allow referral of emergency clause bills. Support Aspire with Sutton's 2016 sales sales tax margins.
30 seconds,
LRC
halfway
website.
There.
Do more info about the bills. Rename Custer State Park for reconciliation. Do Drew Dennert's open primary bill. Fund Aspire with advertising taxes. Increase K-12 funding so we've got buses in town. Build a third overpass in Aberdeen. Allow independents to sign any candidate's petition. Allow online voter registration. Prohibit two elected offices simultaneously. Can't hold both. Make the bank franchise tax progressive. Make healthcare a human right. Fix the ag productivity tax. Do ranked choice voting. Give regionally competitive teacher pay. And build the Big Sioux Bike Trail.
And time.
Read about these policies and more by searching Corey Heidelberger on Facebook or going to my campaign website, CoreyForSD.com. That's CoreyForSD.com. CoreyForSD.com.
Paid
for
by
Heidelberger
Campaign
Fund.
Vote
for
Corey
Allen
Heidelberger
for
District
3
Senate.
And we're back. This is Toby with Corey Heidelberger, candidate for Senate in District 3 here in Aberdeen, South Dakota. We're talking policy for a little bit.
Yoo-hoo!
Yeah, exactly. I know.
It's my favorite part.
Exactly. The best part of the conversation. And I think one of the things that is easy to go through in a campaign is that there are some things that are easy to make real basic, simple mantras out of.
Yeah. Chislick, State Nosh. Who's going to argue with that?
Exactly.
Chislick. Everybody likes Chislick.
I think an area of a lot of people want to make really simple is taxes, fiscal policy. No new taxes.
Well, I wish.
Right. Wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great if we had no new expenses?
Exactly. Because it's important, I think, for people to recognize that we still have to find some way to fund the state budget.
Right.
And so talk to me a little bit about the way that we can make sure our tax policy is not so simplified that it forgets about the complexity of funding state government.
The problem with the budget, the challenge of the budget every year, it's not unique, is we've got to balance. How much money do we have? What do we need to do? And what do we want to do? And those things always shift. Different economy, there's different amounts of money. Different needs, you know, some years are worse than others. We've got more needs, more people in jail, whatever. Needs change, revenues change. And so we always have to be willing to go to peer and say, I'm not doing a budget by some mantra or some abstract principle. I'm doing the budget based on what the spreadsheets say. How much money do we have? What do we need to get done? And what are we going to prioritize?
So what's maybe an example of the complexity of budget and tax policy that you think gets overlooked by simple mantras?
One thing, let's look just at the taxing side, first of all. How do we get our money? South Dakota has what we call the two-legged stool. We do sales tax, we do property tax, we refuse to do income tax. Now, I understand there are arguments for income tax and there are arguments against income tax. But to say, well, income tax is bad and not have the conversation about why it's bad, well, that we might be missing an opportunity. There might be ways that we could do an income tax like we do right now for banks in South Dakota and for insurance companies in South Dakota that are actually fairer than taxing people on the value of their house or the value of their ag land or how much peanut butter they've bought. Even if we're not going to have a discussion about income tax, or even if we do and someone convinces me that, yeah, this is why an income tax just won't work in South Dakota, it won't produce the revenue or whatever, I'll be like, okay, how do we make our remaining taxes fairer? How do we make sure that sales tax, for instance, doesn't fall harder on poor people than it does on well-off people, you know? And our food tax is a great example of that. The food tax takes a much bigger chunk out of poor people's budget than it does out of higher income people's budgets. And that's why every state surrounding us exempts food from sales tax, because they recognize it's just not a fair way to do it. They realize, oh, that means we're going to have to get revenue elsewhere, but they do. And that's the kind of conversation we need to have. Do we really want to keep taxing people on their peanut butter sandwiches for their kids going to school? Or do we want to say, look, we're not going to tax your food. We're going to look for other places of wealth in the state to fund our priorities. But that's a complicated conversation.
Complicated conversations, fairness, those are things that don't fit real well in a half hour.
No, they don't. But that's why we have to be able to go to the legislature and have honest conversations about all the options on the table.
And that's something you're ready to do as District 3's senator if you get elected November 6th.
This broadcast is a special edition of Dakota Free Press, paid for by the Heidelberger Campaign Fund. Learn more about South Dakota politics at DakotaFreePress.com and about my campaign at CoreyForSD.com.
We've been talking about these conversations that you have with voters around your district.
Right.
I'd like to do a little activity, kind of give you a sense of some of the voters who might be out there listening, different perspectives on South Dakota, on politics around here, and see how it is you make the sale to that kind of voter that they should fill in the bubble next to your name. Let's start with what nationally is really the quickest expanding proportion of the electorate, independent voters.
And in South Dakota too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Lots of independents around, I would assume lots in this district. Those folks that are maybe saying, I don't know about one party or the other, I just want to hear from the candidate. What do you say to an independent voter who's maybe not interested in the party label, but wants to still hear a good reason to vote for Corey Heidelberger?
Well, first, I want to listen to him a little more because, I mean, there are two kinds of independents. There are independents who really just aren't interested in doing politics, period. And then there are independents who say, I want to participate, I want to help, but I'm not sure that either of the parties offers me a way to do that. So for independents who just say, I don't care about parties and politics, just what's in it for me? What are you going to do? I say to them, hey, I'm not worried about party either when it comes to solving problems. I just want to go to peer and fix things. For the other kind of independents who say, I want to be involved, but I'm not sure I like either party, I'll say, well, I understand that. If you want to be involved, you don't have to be a Democrat to be involved in, you know, social causes, in politics, in listening to what's going on in peer and testifying on bills. I'll offer you a way to do that, and I'll certainly listen to what you have to say and try to keep that partisanship from keeping you, Mr. or Mrs. Independent, from being involved in making positive changes in South Dakota.
Sounds good. Now, harder sale is probably to conservative Republicans here in District 3. What would a conservative Republican get from voting for Corey Heidelberger?
Well, number one, they'll get, you know, a Democrat who will listen to them. And funny thing is, on my blog, Dakota Free Press, I have some of my best conversations with the hardest, farthest right conservatives. I've had great conversations with Senator Stace Nelson from down in Fulton. He is a hard conservative, but we have great, respectful conversations. Lance Russell, who I think we can fairly say is one of the most right-wing Republicans out there.
West River, Hot Springs.
He came to Aberdeen and sat down for a podcast with me. He was willing to let me ask him questions and go on tape, you know, for the record. I have good conversations with conservatives. Now, can I get him to vote for me? who knows? But I'll tell you this. I can tell those conservatives that I was a conservative Republican through college and into, you know, the beginning of my professional days until 2004, until I realized that a lot of what the Republican Party does isn't real conservatism. So there are issues when we're talking about, you know, taxes and regulation, I can understand the conservative viewpoint and maybe even point out that, you know, I'll support bills that are genuinely conservative and not just mouth some of those principles. Not always, we'll still disagree, but I can work with honest conservatives.
Now, I think there's maybe a special kind of Republican voter this cycle. We hear the governor's race between Billy Sutton, Kristi Noem, really tight.
Right, right.
That means, if true, there are quite a few Republicans out there that are planning to vote for Billy Sutton.
And I say thank you to every one of them.
Absolutely. What do you say after thank you to help encourage them to cast their ballot, not just for that Democrat, but for this Democrat, Corey Heidelberger, District 3?
Well, as I listen to what various Republicans are saying about supporting Billy Sutton, you know, folks like Larry Pressler, Stan Adelstein, Dee Knutson, all, when I hear Republicans say we're voting for Billy, a lot of what I hear from them is they want change in peer. They want reform in peer. They want to shake up the system and, most importantly, have a governor who does bipartisan cooperation, who involves everybody in what's going on in peer, not just, you know, kind of the few. And I say to people, that's a really good reason to vote for Billy, because he's done that throughout his Senate career, and he'll do that as governor, involving everybody. But, practically speaking, as long as Republicans dominate the legislature, they don't have to listen to anyone else. But you send a few more Democrats to peer who can back up Billy Sutton's vetoes, then they have to converse with us. They have to negotiate. So to do that change that Sutton Republicans want, to have those bipartisan conversations, Billy Sutton needs some oomph. I want to go to peer and be Billy Sutton's oomph.
What about voters? We hear a lot, I think, in this race about the relationship building that happens when someone has served in the legislature for a while. Talk to us about how you would build those relationships. And for someone who says, yeah, Corey's got all the policy down, But I don't know if he's going to be able to build relationships in Pierre, build relationships across the aisle. What might you say to someone like that?
I understand that concern, you know, especially when you're talking about electing, you know, a newcomer and, you know, replacing someone who's been out in Pierre for 8 terms, for 16 years. I mean, sure, hang out in the same office for 16 years, and of course you're going to build some relationships with people. But I've been doing work that requires building relationships too. In teaching, you've got to build relationships with your students so education can happen. In blogging, reporting on South Dakota news and politics on Dakota Free Press, as I've done for now a good 13 years, I think. When I've needed to build relationships with my sources, all I really have to offer is trust and honesty. You know, people will come to me, and sometimes Republicans, sometimes people who are like, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a Democrat, I don't like Democrats, but Corey, I've got a story I want you to tell, but you can't use my name. You gotta just listen to me first, okay? Promise me we're off the record. And I say, okay, tell me what you've got. I've listened to a lot of sources that way. The reason people will talk to me is because I promise them I will listen. I promise them they have confidentiality, and they can trust me with that, and I've never violated that. And when they see me, when people do say, okay, Corey, go ahead and report on this, or go ahead, use my information, they see that I report truthfully, good or bad. They some people may not like what I write, but they know that I've tried really hard to get the facts straight. And so really, I think that's how all relationships have to be built. They have to be built on honesty and trust. If you don't have that, you can't have a relationship. If you do have honesty and trust, you're off and running to build a practical relationship to solve some problems.
And that's maybe a message across all of those different types of voters you might be talking to yet before November 6th.
And that's the idea. No matter who we're talking to, no matter what party you're in, you've got to be able to trust who you're talking to. And I'm willing to offer that trust. I'm willing to listen. And I am willing, if not just genetically bound, to be honest with everyone I talk to.
Honest with everyone he talks to. That's Corey Allen Heidelberger, running for District 3 Senate here in Aberdeen. Are we having fun yet, Corey?
Yeah, we're talking about public policy and democracy.
Democracy, that's where I wanted to go next.
Oh,
this is good. Democracy has a great history right here in Aberdeen and right in South Dakota.
When South Dakota was founded back in 1889, right after that, Father Robert Hare, Aberdeen priest, said, we need more democracy. And he came up with this idea of putting initiative and referendum into our Constitution.
Direct participation of the people in policymaking.
The idea that it's not just the legislature who can make laws, but the idea that the people have a right to, number one, write a law, put it on the ballot, and say, hey, let's vote. Or number two, take a law that the legislature has passed and said, no, we want to vote on that because we're not so sure it's a good idea. That's initiative and referendum. And we were the first state to do it. It started right here in Aberdeen. I love going by Father Robert Hare's obelisk on the northern campus. I always say, hey, Father Hare, it's so wonderful to know I'm in the birthplace of that kind of direct democracy in America.
So how do listeners carry forward that great tradition of democracy here in Aberdeen and here in South Dakota?
The first thing you can do is vote. Whenever it happens, get out and vote. It takes 10 minutes. Just vote. But beyond that, we have to watch what happens when we vote. When we vote for legislators, we have to see if those legislators then do what we wanted them to do or what they promised they would do. And if they don't, we need to hold them accountable. And hold them accountable means vote them out, put new people in, and make them listen. Because there is the challenge of democracy. Democracy is work. Democracy means we, the people, have to pay attention and study and research and talk to each other and watch the news and think about these things.
And so that means that we've got an awful lot of initiated measures and amendments to the Constitution and things on our ballot pretty regularly here in South Dakota.
Sure.
You're saying that's a good sign for democracy? That's not just a burden on our ballot?
I think it's great. I will take that burden. I wish we had more of that burden, because that burden is really the chance for us to be the captains of our own destiny, to make our own decisions. And that's what we all want. We grow up wanting, geez, Mom and Dad, I just want to make my own decisions. Every time there's another ballot measure, that's a chance for us to say, I want this to happen, or I don't want this to happen. That's why I love democracy, because it's a chance not just for me and not just for legislators and not just the governor. It's a chance for every one of us, from the poorest guy to the richest guy, to make decisions, make his voice heard, and have his or her way.
Make your own decisions. Participate in democracy. That means look at those ballot measures, and that means elect the people you want to the legislature here in South Dakota. That means Corey Allen Heidelberger, candidate for District 3 Senate. You've been listening to a special edition of the Dakota Free Press podcast, paid for by Heidelberger Campaign Fund. Don't forget to vote November 6th. Vote for honesty. Vote for Corey.